This week, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, a top advisor to Pope John Paul II, told a German magazine that the Pope is in a bad way. Vatican officials deny any recent downturn in the Pope's health, but they acknowledge that the pontiff, who suffers from Parkinson's disease, is very frail. Chester Gillis joins us now to talk about how the Pope's condition is affecting his papacy. Mr. Gillis chairs the theology department at Georgetown University here in Washington. He's with us by phone from his office. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Lynn. Thank you.
Even if the Pope's condition hasn't deteriorated recently, he is not doing well. He has not looked well for a long time in public appearances and is clearly failing. How significant is it that Cardinal Ratzinger came out and actually addressed the Pope's health so openly?
Well, in a sense, he stated the obvious, didn't he? Anybody who has seen the Pope in the last, particularly the last 3 months in his public appearances, knows how frail he is. And I think perhaps Cardinal Ratzinger's comment was somewhat inadvertent in the way that Cardinal Ray, I believe it was, said that he slipped and said, oh, the Pope has Parkinson's. Not, and when the Vatican had never confirmed they had Parkinson's, although everyone, again, who observed knew that he did. Because after Cardinal Ratzinger's comment, one of the subsidiary people said, oh, no, it isn't that bad. He's in the same condition he was always in. But he's extremely frail, and I think, you know, the end of the papacy is probably in sight.
Well, I guess I couldn't help but wondering, because I think the Vatican is so careful about the statements it makes about the Pope's health, whether they weren't in some way sending out some kind of signal through Cardinal Ratzinger. Is that a possibility, or...?
It's certainly a possibility. Cardinal Ratzinger is very circumspect, and he would understand the implications of his words. But the fact that they retracted some of that later on or corrected it indicates to me that they don't want to alarm anyone at this point. But, you know, clearly he's failing. And whether there's some additional disease besides the Parkinson's and the arthritis which he suffers from is the real question. There were rumors that he might have stomach cancer. I don't know if that's true. It's probably a rumor. But he certainly has deteriorated in the last 3 months dramatically.
We're talking about the future of the papacy and the condition of Pope John Paul II. If you'd like to join the discussion, if you have any questions for our guest, Chester Gillis of Georgetown University, the number is 1-800-989-8255. What happens if the Pope, given that he has Parkinson's disease and may continue to fail and may not be able to take on his regular duties, what happens on a given day? Who covers for him?
Well, first of all, he hasn't been able to take on all his regular duties, if you want to put it in that way, in the same way that he had when he was much younger and earlier and could work 20-hour days. He hasn't been able to do that for a long time. He can work a few hours a day now, I think. So that there's a whole cadre of Vatican officials, from the Secretary of State and Cardinal Ratzinger, who heads the Doctrine and Faith, and a number of other offices in the Vatican, that take over the slack for the Pope, and bureaucracy continues to run even if the Pope isn't that well.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Chester Gillis, this past weekend the Pope selected 31 new cardinals. What is the significance of that? First of all, is that a really unusually large group?
It's not an unusually large group, and the numbers had the numbers of voting cardinals. It's differentiated by those who are below 80 and those who are 80 and above, and that's the mark at which they're able to vote for the next pope. The number of cardinals with this consistory raises it to about 195, excuse me, but of those, about 135 are eligible to vote, and the norm is about 120, so this is a little higher than the norm, but this pope has exceeded the norm in the past. Currently, there are 109 eligible to vote, and he obviously wanted to raise that number. But I think the timing of the consistory is significant. It was moved up a little bit. That could be for practical reasons, because the cardinals will all be in Rome for the 25th anniversary of the Pope and the beatification of Mother Teresa, and so it was more convenient to do it this time, but it also could be because the Pope only has so much strength and time left to accomplish this.
And the effect of these latest appointments on the succession?
Well, it will change the cast a little bit, the cast of, so to speak, characters, those who might be eligible to become Pope. One thing is that the new cardinals will not be that well known to the present cardinals. I'm sure they'll know them as archbishops or bishops where they are, but they won't know them as personally. So this particular consistory will be very important for cardinals to get to know each other, particularly the newcomers to get to know those who've been in the College of Cardinals for a while. and for everyone to assess everyone else in regard to the next papacy.
Also, is this a more conservative group in this appointment, in these appointments?
Well, it's not more conservative. I think the general trend with this particular pope has been a relatively conservative style anyway, particularly on theological matters and on disciplinary matters within the church. And this just continues that and confirms that, I think.
And what does it say about who might succeed the pope eventually? The fact that this is the trend has been towards conservative cardinals and continues to be so.
Well, part of the question of succession is also geographical. With this consistory, there's a good number of cardinals now from the Third World. There are still a number of European cardinals, probably the preponderance in that sense, the largest single bloc, although not as large as it used to be in the past. And there's still a good number of Italian cardinals. Many of those are, of course, Vatican officials. But the interesting candidates are the Third World people. Some speculate that the next pope will come from the Third World for a number of reasons, one being that Europe is somewhat spent in the sense that Catholicism in Europe has been declining as far as participation in Catholicism. And two is that this pope has looked to the Third World for faith and formation for quite a while now, and this would solidify that legacy if they were to choose someone from the Third World.
Is there any precedent for a pope who is suffering from a long-term illness, such as Pope John Paul II, giving up the papacy, somebody else stepping in?
Well, to my knowledge, there's only one pope who resigned, and his successor subjected him to house imprisonment. So that's not something we'd want to see. It's very unlikely the pope would resign, although it is said, and I can't confirm this, that there may be a letter that the pope has written, that if he were to become completely incapacitated, therefore not able to communicate in any manner his will, that he would resign the papacy by virtue of that physical condition. But short of that, I think he intends to die as the pope.
Okay, well, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Lynn.
Chester Gillis is the chair of the theology department at Georgetown University. He joined us from his office there. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.